books in the Bible. If you've read your Bible, you know this. First Chronicles. Let's go to First Chronicles chapter. Andrew's smiling. She got that. First Chronicles chapter 13. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go home and get to First Chronicles chapter 1 after church and read about 10 chapters. You'll understand what I said about them, one of the most exciting books in the Bible. But indeed, we see a good example here of how to do the right thing the wrong way in 1 Chronicles chapter 13. Let's read this together. We're going to read the entire chapter. There's 14 verses. It says in verse 1, "And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and Levites, which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt, even into the entering of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. And David went up, and all Israel, to Baalah, that is, to Kirjath-Jearim, which belongeth to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God, the ark of God the Lord that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab. And Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. And David and all of Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came to the threshing floor of Kidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him, because he put his hand on the ark, and there he died before God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. Wherefore the place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. And the ark of God remained with the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Amen. Derek, lead us in the word of prayer. That we read about in this chapter here in 1 Chronicles 13 actually began about 120 years earlier, back in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Because you see, in 1 Samuel chapter 2, Eli, who was the high priest, he had two sons. And those sons were wicked, okay? They were very wicked. As a matter of fact, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12, the Word of God says they were the sons of Belial who knew not the Lord. You know what that means when it says they were the sons of Belial who knew not the Lord? It means they were the sons of the devil and they were not saved. That's exactly what that meant. These boys were wicked, okay? Let me just read you something here about their wickedness in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. The Word of God says this. He says, "For I have told him
But I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice or offerings forever. Friends, Eli's sons were wicked. Now think about it. These boys were the sons of the high priest. They hung around the tabernacle, and they were actually ministering, okay? And Eli, who was their daddy and the high priest, he was letting it happen. And the Lord finally had enough. And so the Lord comes, and in 1 Samuel chapter 3, he passed judgment on the house of Eli. And as a result of the sins of the house of Eli, the Israelites ended up being smitten by the Philistines, and the ark was lost to the Philistines. Now, you know your Bible, you know what happened, don't you? They took the ark, the Philistines did, but boy, nothing good happened for them while they had it, did they? And so they ended up bringing the ark back to the Israelites. As a matter of fact, they brought it back with an offering. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 7, the ark was brought into the house of Abinadab, where it remained for a long time. Okay, now, let's fast forward. Enter King Saul. During his reign as king, the worship of God in the tabernacle was entirely omitted, and the nation under Saul did not move closer to God. They moved further away. Matter of fact, listen to what David said in verse 3 in our text. He says, "And let us bring again the ark of our God to us." Listen, "for we inquired not at it in the days of Saul." Okay, under Saul, the worship of God had just been completely and entirely omitted. And so, by the time we come to 1 Chronicles 13, the ark has become obscure. It's become forgotten. And David gets it on his heart. He wants to change this. He wants to bring the ark back into the center of public attention and once again draw the nation and their attention back to the Lord. And you know what? That sounds like a good thing, don't it? I mean, if you got it on your heart, and let's just be honest, America has become a very godless place. Amen. We say one nation under God. We're not anymore. Maybe we were at one point, but we're not today. I mean, I look at things going on in the nation. I see things I see on the news. We are not one nation under God. I mean, we're about far from God as I think we've ever been. I'm going to be honest with you. It would be awesome, wouldn't it, to see America have a revival and an awakening and turn back to God. And that would be an awesome thing, wouldn't it? And that's what David was wanting for the Israelites. He was wanting to see the nation come back to God. And you know what? That sounds like a good thing, don't it? Indeed, it was. It was a good thing, but unfortunately, David went about it all wrong, and he did it right here in 1 Chronicles 13. And friends, I have seen this happen many times in our day as well. Over and over in the church, I have seen well-intentioned Christians who try to do something very good for the Lord. They try to do it for the honor and glory of God, but like David, they also go about it the wrong way. So this morning, I want to look at a few of the mistakes that David made here. As he tried to do the right thing the wrong way. And my prayer is that the next time you or I set out to do something for the Lord, that we'll avoid making the mistakes that David made here in this text. So what ultimately caused David to do the right thing the wrong way? Well, I'm going to give you the mistakes that he made here, and they're all right here in chapter 13. The first mistake David made was he consulted with men about this situation instead of consulting with God. That's the first problem he had. Look at verse 1. Look at the first part of verse 2. It says, "And David consulted with." With who? Oh, yeah. With the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, "If it seem good to you." David wanted to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. So what did he do? He sought the opinions of his counselors, his military leaders, the religious leaders, and all the other leaders. And verse 2 says, even the entire congregation of Israel. But I'm going to tell you something. David didn't need to do this. I'm going to be blunt. David shouldn't have done this. Let me tell you what David should have done when he got this burden on his heart to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. Let me tell you what he should have done. He should have gone to his knees and he should have prayed about it. That's what he should have done. He should have told the Lord the burden that was on his heart to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. He should have prayed and made sure it was actually God's will for him to do this. And then he should have prayed and asked the Lord to give him some wisdom and guidance about how to get it
done. But he didn't do that.
Instead, he went to man. He went and got man's opinion. But I'm going to tell you something, friends. He didn't need man's advice. He didn't need man's opinion. And I'm going to tell you something. He sure didn't need man's permission. But what he sure should have done was made sure what he was doing was within the will of God. And look at verse 2 where David tells the people, if it seems good to you, and listen to this, and it be of the Lord our God. He says this as if, you know, it's a foregone conclusion, it's God's will. He says this as if what God thinks about it is just an afterthought, but what's the key thing? If this seems good to you. If you like this, we'll do it. If you think this is a good idea, we'll go do it. We'll fetch you, bring it back to Jerusalem, and if God likes it too. Well, let me tell you something, friends. What God thought was the only thing that should have mattered, and what seemed good to the people, that shouldn't have mattered at all. And I'll say this. If I am sure, my wife tell you, I'm telling the truth here this morning. If I am sure something is the will of God, then I really don't care if it seems good to people or not. If I'm sure something is the will of God, I really don't care what anybody thinks about it. I really don't care if they like it, don't like it. That's irrelevant. How many times have we done this, friends? How often do we get an idea in our hearts and we say, I'm going to do this for the Lord. And then we go and we talk to the preacher about it. We talk to the deacon about it. We talk to the committee about it. We talk to all these people, our friends. We talk to all kinds of people about what we got on our mind that we're going to do. And then we do all that, but we don't ever talk to God himself. Let me just say this, man, just blunt as I can be about this. Who cares what anyone else thinks? The only thing that is important is what the Lord thinks and what his will is in the situation. And I'm telling you, the second that David began to worry about what the people thought more than he did about what God's will was, let me tell you something, that's where he started heading for trouble. Okay, and this is where the trouble began, when he began to worry what people thought rather than God. But this wasn't the only mistake David made, because David's second mistake is the fact that David assumed, listen to me, he assumed that just because he had something good on his heart to do for the Lord, he assumed it was automatically God's will. Now, I'm going to tell you something. As a preacher, I have seen a lot of Baptists do this. They get something on their heart, and it's a good thing they want to do it. I'm telling you, they automatically assume it's God's will, because what David said to the people in verse 2, if it seemed good to you, and that it be of the Lord our God. David's just assuming real quick, this is God's will. David thought it would be a good thing to bring the ark back to Jerusalem, back into the public eye. He wanted to remind the people that they were God's people. He wanted to do something that would draw the people closer to the Lord. Now, that sounds admirable, doesn't it? That sounds good. How do you find fault with that? And I'm telling you, it's a good thing anytime any nation draws closer to the Lord. But again, just because you get something on your heart to do for God doesn't mean it's the will of God. Yeah. Just because your aim is good, just because your desire is to please God and honor God, that doesn't automatically make it God's will. Let me give you a good example of this in the Bible. You remember when David got it on his heart and built God a house? Remember that? And I'm going to tell you what, I think David felt a little guilty. I really do. Because if you read his words, what does he say? I live in this big fancy house made out of cedar, and the ark dwells in a tent. He didn't think that seemed right, and so he got this idea in his head that I'm going to build God a house. I'm going to build God an even nicer house than I got because he deserves it. And honestly, I think he had good intentions. I think he wanted to honor God. But here's the problem. It wasn't God's will. Just because it sounded good, just because he wanted to honor God, didn't mean the idea was God's will. Matter of fact, you remember what happened? He prayed about it, what happened? God said, no, you ain't building nothing. It was not God's will for him to build God a house. And today, friends, I'm telling you, no matter how good your intentions might be, no matter how much you want to please the Lord, no matter how much you want to honor the Lord, whenever you get an idea in your heart, do something for the Lord. Don't assume, just because it's a good thing, don't assume that it's automatically God's will. What you ought to do is pray about it. What you ought to do is tell the Lord what is on your heart. What you ought to do is ask him if this is actually his will that he's put on your heart, or just something you come up with. Pray diligently and ask the Lord to give you confirmation that what you are seeking to do is actually in His will. Don't assume, friends, that the good things you come up with are automatically God's will. And I'll give you a good example of this. You ready?
Here it is. I'm going to give you a great example of this.
You know how many men I've seen over the years get saved? And the day they get saved, man, they want to set the world on fire for Jesus.
That's admirable. That's great. I want you all to set the world on fire for Jesus. I just want you to be out there and just making the world a better place and Jesus knowing. I want all that to happen. But for whatever the reason, I've been in ministry over 30 years now, and I've seen this I don't know how many times. For whatever reason, the guy gets saved, and he ain't saved very long, and he wants to just set the world on fire for the Lord. And you know what the first idea he comes up with is?
I'm going to do the ministry. I'm going to preach. And they don't pray about it. They'll do what David did here. They'll tell other people about it. They'll tell other people, I think you'd make a fine preacher.
And they just kind of, in their mind, we can go, I'm doing the right thing here. And then they enter the ministry, and then because God didn't really call them, and they didn't really seek to see if this was really God's will, and I guess what happens? They quickly crash and burn. You know how many young men I have seen enter the ministry a year later, weren't in the ministry and doing something else? A bunch of times. You know how many times I've seen a guy get saved and God call him to preach and 20 years later he's still in the ministry? I've seen it a handful of times. It's admirable.
If you want to do something for the Lord, you should want to do something for the Lord. God has a plan for your life, friends, and God wants to use you to further His kingdom. Just make sure that what you're going to do is actually His will and not some idea you came up with.
Yeah. Because I've seen it too often. We get ideas in our head about what we're going to do for the Lord, and we think just because it's a good idea, it's God's will. And friends, that ain't necessarily the truth.
You want to get it right? Well, whatever it is you're going to do, you pray about it, and you ask the Lord about what you're going to do rather than seeking the opinions of men. Don't assume just because you're seeking to do something good that it's God's will. And this brings me to the third mistake David made, that he wrongly assumed, listen to me, that because everyone else agreed with him, it was the will of God. Look at verse 4. In 1 Chronicles 13, it says, and all the congregation said that they would do so. Listen to this. For the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. The decision was unanimous. Everyone, and I mean everyone, agreed that what David was seeking to do was the right thing to do. Well, let me tell you what all these years serving the Lord has taught me. You ready for this? If the whole world thinks it's good, you're probably doing the wrong thing.
Amen.
If you don't have any critics, you're probably on the wrong path. Okay? Because if you really start getting your life in the will of God, Satan's going to bring opposition. You're going to be met with some critics. It's going to happen. Friends, if there is a problem that I have with the Southern Baptist Convention, I don't have many, but this is one. It is that too many things have happened within the church that are decided by men. Friends, it's ridiculous. We have too many committees, too many business meetings, too many where too many votes are made on too many things, and it's made by people rather than the church stopping and praying and seeking God's will in the situation. And even when the church does pray about the Lord's will, we have this tendency to mess it up.
Amen.
Let me tell you what I say. I'm talking 30 years of experience here. I've moderated a lot of business meetings. I've seen churches make a lot of decisions. Let me give you an example. We have a committee, and the committee brings an idea to the business meeting, and the church votes on it, and then we go to God and we say, hey, Lord, this is what we decided we're going to do for you. Now you come bless it. How about, rather than doing that, how about instead of forming a committee, we have a night where we come together and we just all go to our knees in the pew and pray and seek what God's will is. Yeah. Doesn't that sound like a better idea than a committee full of people who are going to bring an idea to a room full of people in a business meeting and going to have a vote by people and then we're going to decide what we do? And not only do we mess it up that way, I'm going to we'll say this, friends, it ain't just enough to pray about God's will.
Let me tell you what I have found about God's will. I have seldom in my spiritual life prayed about something and got an answer the same day. That happen to you all the time? Because it don't for me. Usually I have to pray about something, and once I pray about it, guess what I have to do? I have to wait. Yeah. If you're really interested in God's will, guess what you will do? You won't just pray about God's will. You will wait for God to reveal His will. And guess what? Then when God reveals His will, there's one other step the church don't like. People don't like, Christians don't like. When God reveals His will, you've got to be willing to yield yourself to that will.
Amen.
Why? Because very often, God's will in a situation isn't yours. I'm going to tell you something. Don't pray for God's will if you're not going to be willing to yield yourself to that will once He reveals it to you.
Amen.
Oh, man, we messed this up so big. We're just like David. You know, the whole congregation, says in verse 4, it was right, and I won't do it. The decision's unanimous. Vote passes. Motion carried. These guys were Baptist, I believe. Problem was, though, what they did was not within the will of God.
Yeah.
They may have voted, they may agree, but they were still outside of the will of God. And church, we need to be real careful going forward that we as a church are seeking His will in all things rather than our own, because very often God's will and our will are two different things. And this brings me to David's fourth mistake. And that is, in addition to not praying and seeking the will of God in the situation, once they began to bring the ark back, listen to this, they did not follow the instructions of God's word.
Amen.
Look at verse 7. Let's read it together. It says, and they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. They weren't following the instructions of God's word. How do I know that? Well, I know that because God had given very explicit instructions on how the ark was to be transported back in Numbers chapter 4. And the ark was never to be transported on a cart, but rather it was to be borne on the shoulders of the Levites, namely the sons of Kohath. And they were to put these poles through these rings on the side of the ark, and four of them were to bear the ark on their shoulders, and that is how the ark was to be transported. That is what God said. That is how He wanted it done. That was His instructions.
Amen.
But even though God had given these explicit instructions, this isn't what they did. Instead of doing what God had instructed, they put the ark on a cart. Now let me tell you real quick what I think about the cart. Further evidence these were Baptist. You ready? Because I view the cart as the easy way out. The easy way out. The easiest way possible. Instead of going to the trouble of doing it like the Lord said to do it, they tried to do it an easier way. They just put it on a cart. That's easy. We can roll it wherever we want it to go. And today I've seen so many God's people, they say they want to do the will of God. They even try to do the will of God. Problem is, they try to do it the easiest way possible. Well, friends, let me tell you, God's will is seldom, if ever, easy. David found out there is no easy way where the Lord's will is concerned. And the Lord's word, it's not easy to follow it either. And if you try to find an easy way to do it, let me tell you something. You, like David, are going to figure out you made a terrible mistake for doing it. Real quick, you know what? David did learn from his mistake, praise God. Yeah, he failed this first time here in 1 Chronicles 13. But that failure led him to get his act together and do it the right way, which he did. And the second time he attempted to bring the ark to Jerusalem, he succeeded. You know why? Because he did it God's way, according to God's instructions. Look at 1 Chronicles 15:2. It said, then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto Him forever. You know what? He should have said that in 1 Chronicles 13, verse 2. But he had to try to do it the easy way and had to do it this way, putting it on a cart. And so it had made a mistake and had learned from it.
Friends, you will never accomplish the will of God in your life if you're always trying to do things the easiest way possible.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. Doing God's will takes a lot of work. Doing God's will requires us to make sacrifices. And you will never, listen to me, never accomplish the will of God in your life if you fail to follow the instructions that God has given to us in His Word. It's kind of like that old saying goes, anything worth doing is worth doing right. Amen?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, you'll never go wrong following the Word of God. David tried to do the right thing, but he did it the wrong way because he sought the opinions of men rather than the opinion of God himself. He failed because he wrongly assumed that just because what he wanted to do was a good thing, it was automatically the will of God. He failed because he assumed that just because everybody agreed with him, that it was the will of God. And he failed because he didn't follow the instructions of God's Word. But he made one more mistake. Yeah, David tried to do a good thing, and he did it the wrong way, and yeah, he failed. But here's the final mistake.
When he failed, he blamed God. To me, this is the dumbest thing he did in the whole chapter. He blamed God.
Look at verse 11. Listen to this. I think to myself, man, David had some nerves sometimes. It says, and David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, wherefore that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. David was mad because God killed Uzzah. Why did God kill Uzzah? Because Uzzah put his hand on the ark. He wasn't supposed to do that. That's also in the instructions. And why did he put his hand on the ark? Because they had it on a cart instead of on burying on the shoulders of the Levites. And when it started to wobble a little bit, they thought, well, I'm going to reach up and stable that thing so don't fall. And he died. If you know the instructions of God's Word, why was anybody here surprised when the man died for touching it? God had given explicit instructions, and yet when he died, David's displeased with the Lord. I got news for you. It was the Lord that should have been displeased with David. Because this attempt to bring the ark to Jerusalem, it didn't fail as a result of something God did wrong. It failed because David did it. Everything wrong.
Yeah.
David wanted to be displeased with somebody. David should have gone and found a mirror and looked at himself because, friends, this was his fault. This was all on him, not on the Lord. You see, had he sought the Lord's will in this situation rather than the opinions of men, and had he asked the Lord to confirm to him that what he was doing was indeed within the will of God, and had he done what he did in accordance to the instructions found in God's Word, guess what? He wouldn't have failed. But he did none of those things. And as a result, he failed miserably. And today I'm going to make you a promise. You ready for this? If you are failing in your walk with the Lord today, it is not the Lord's fault.
Amen.
If you are failing today to accomplish the will of God in your life, again, it is not the Lord's fault. Friends, God is never the problem. When we fail because we did something wrong, not because He did something wrong. And when we, like David, try to blame God for our failures, all we do is make matters worse. You know what you need to do? And let's just be honest.
Hey, a perfect person in this room, to include me. We all have our shortcomings. We all have our failures. We all get out of the will of God. We all do things that we know the Word of God says we shouldn't do, or we fail to do things we know the Word of God says we should do. We all have our failures.
But boy, you know what? We're often quick to try to blame somebody else, and it amazes me how often we, like David, try to make that target God.
Yeah.
Well, God, I was just doing this for you. I don't know why this didn't work out. As if, you know, it's God's fault.
Let me tell you what you do next time you fail. Are you ready for this? Take ownership of it. Wouldn't that be refreshing?
Yeah.
To see someone actually take ownership of their own failures. Just take ownership of it, pray, confess it to the Lord, tell him you did it, tell him you don't have an excuse, and then do what David did. Seek his forgiveness and start over, and the second time you do it right.
Yeah.
And make sure what you're doing moving forward is actually his will and not just something you come up with. And make sure that whatever you do, you're doing in accordance to this book and not just the way you want to do it. Make sure that you're doing whatever you have to do to accomplish the will of God, even if it takes a great amount of sacrifice and work, and not just putting it on a cart and trying to take the easy way out. David made some mistakes, didn't he? And praise God, he was human just like us. Today, so many of God's people are making the same mistakes David made in 1 Chronicles 13. Oh yeah, I have no doubt they have good intentions. David had good intentions. And I have no doubt they want to do good things that will honor the Lord and please the Lord. But unfortunately, so many of God's people are there going about it all wrong, just like David did. Well, what's that old saying? The road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Amen.
It may not be biblical, but I have news for you. I believe it's true. You want to have a life that's going to be in the will of God? You want to have a life that pleases God, that honors the Lord? Then let me tell you something. You need to do the exact opposite of what David did here in 1 Chronicles 13. You need to stop listening to the world and worrying about what the world thinks, and you need to start listening to God and finding out what he thinks. And you do that by spending time in prayer and spending time in the Word of God, and as you study and pray, you need to have the patience to wait on the Lord to reveal to you what it is that he would have you to do. And when God reveals to you what he wants you to do, you're going to have the maturity as a follower of Christ to yield yourself to that will. Because sometimes his will isn't going to be your will.
Yeah.
That's a mature believer. They can honestly, truly, in their heart say, Lord, have thine own way. And then when his way is different than their way, they say, okay, Lord, if that's what you want, I'm on it. That's maturity. That is a mature believer. Okay? The believer says, Lord, this is what I want. I ain't going to stop till I get it. That's an immature believer. We've got to wait on him. We've got to yield ourselves to his will. And if you want to accomplish the will of God in your life, you're going to have to stop making assumptions. Because you see, just because you get something on your heart to do for the Lord, that don't automatically mean it's God's will. So when you get something on your heart, pray about it. Ask the Lord to give you confirmation. Lord, is this actually your will? Did you put this on my heart, or is this just something I came up with? As you serve the Lord, if you find you have no critics, you find that everyone is in agreement with what you are doing, all I can say is proceed cautiously. Because if the whole world agrees with you, friends, it's probably not the will of God. And if you want to accomplish the will of God in your life, then you make sure whatever it is that you're doing is being done in accordance to his word. Because I'm telling you, if you fail to do any of these things, then you are sure to fail when it comes to accomplishing the will of God. And if you fail to do these things, and if you fail in your attempt to accomplish what it is you're trying to do, don't blame God for the failure, because friends, I promise you, it ain't his fault when you fail. I'm going to end today by saying this as simply as I can. It's time church today stops trying to do the right thing the wrong way and begin to do things God's way. It is time that we quit worrying about the opinions of the world and the opinions of men and begin to seek the will of God in all things. It is time, friends, that we do this. It is time that we quit making assumptions that just because it's a good thing, it's God's will. We need to pray. We need to seek God's will. And when God reveals his will, we need to yield ourselves to it. And when we go to accomplish what it is he's called us to do, we need to make sure that what we're doing is in accordance to this book.
Yeah.
Because I am telling you, friends, anything else will lead to failure. And I don't want you to fail. I don't want you to have a successful walk with God. I want you to have an effective walk with God. And I want you to have an effective service for the Lord. That's what I want. But we ain't going to do it by doing what David did here. Yeah, friends, there's a right way and a wrong way to do the right thing. And David definitely did the right thing the wrong way here in 1 Chronicles 13.
Don't make the mistakes he made. Seek God's will. Wait on God to answer. Yield yourself to his will. Do it to the best you can do it, and do it in accordance to his word, and I promise you, God will be with you, and you'll succeed in accomplishing his will. Anything else, it's just going to lead to failure. So be careful. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord, because, Lord, it is so honest about who we are and about our human condition. And, Lord, we know that we are so far from perfect that Lord, it's just not even funny. But, Lord, we know that you love us, and we know that you're patient. We know you're merciful. We know you're gracious. And Lord, we know, Lord, that you're going to be there for us even when we fail. And we just praise you for those things. But, God, I pray as we look to David's situation here in 1 Chronicles, I pray, Lord, that the reality would set into our hearts and minds, Lord, that indeed there is a wrong way to do the right thing. And, Lord, David did it here, and he did it because he was more worried about the opinions of man than he was with what you thought or what your will was. He made assumptions, Lord, that just because what he was doing was good, that it had to be your will. He assumed, Lord, because everybody agreed with him, that it had to be your will. And then, Lord, he sought to do what he did, and he did it, Lord, in a way that was not in accordance to your word. And ultimately, Lord, he failed. And ultimately, Lord, he very foolishly blamed you. But God, I pray today if we're failing in our walk with you, failing to accomplish your will, failing in any way at all, I pray, Lord, that we take a long, hard look at ourselves today. And I pray, Lord, that we look at the way we're doing things. And I pray, God, today we would truly begin to seek your will in our lives as individuals, in our homes, in our families, and, Lord, most of all, in your church. I pray, God, your will be done here at Reed Village Baptist Church. And, Lord, as you reveal your will, Lord, I pray that we would all have the maturity to yield ourselves to your will, especially, Lord, when your will is not our own. And, Father, help us, Lord, to make sure that what we do is in accordance to your word, Lord, that this is the recipe, Lord, to succeed, by being in your will, by seeking to do it your way, by doing it in accordance to your word. And, Lord, help us, Lord, to be people, Lord, who are victorious, people who have effective walks for you, who are serving you in this world, Lord, in an effective way and making Christ known. Help us all, God, because we are imperfect beings. Help us, Lord, to be the people you called us to be, designed us to be, that you want us to be, Lord. That our lives would show Christ and that he would be glorified through us and through this church. Have your way now, Lord, in this invitation time as you're speaking to hearts, and I trust that you are. I pray, Lord, we would come and yield ourselves to you, whatever it might be. Have your way now. And we ask all these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.